Meeting is now being recorded.
Hello, everyone. This is Yvette Guillot, the host in the room. We'd like to welcome you to the SSR2 plenary call, number 38, being hosted on Thursday, August 2nd, 2018 at 2000 UTC. Attending today's call, we have Eric, Lauren, Kaveh, Navid, Norm, Alan, and Jeff. We have our facilitator, Phil Curry. We have one observer, George Sadowski, and we from ICANN organization, we have Alice, Nagar, Jennifer, Steve, Brenda, and myself. We also have apologies from Carrie Ann, Zarko, Mr. Matagoro, and Naru. I'm not sure about Denise. She had said she may make it, she may not, so we'll see how that goes. Today's call, we'd like to remind you, is being recorded, so please state your name before speaking, so we will have you in the transcript record. Okay, that's it for me. Phil, I will turn the call back over to you.
Phil Curry here. Thank you, Yvette. Look, I think we have enough of us here to sort of proceed with this. The first thing on the agenda is any administrative issues beyond attendances and apologies. We did not put on their action items, so I will ask a question about any outstanding action items that us from previous meeting that we still need to put that still need to be delivered on. Can someone help with that, or Jennifer or someone who's got the records, or we could come back to it in a minute if you need a moment.
Phil, I'm sorry, can you clarify what are you looking for?
Oh, just any outstanding action items. That's my oversight. I'd not put it on the agenda for today.
Yeah, sure. I can go over the outstanding action items. So I'm using the tracking tool. I'll just drop a link in the chat as well to show you all where that's at. But outstanding action items, obviously the review team is to include the budget discussions in the DC meeting objectives. I believe that's an item on the agenda today. Review team members to provide feedback on the draft set of objectives for the DC face-to-face meeting that were circulated via email last week and again this week. Team members to provide Phil with suggestions on how to recommence review work in preparation for the DC meeting. Phil to circulate a request for volunteers to produce a methodology used to determine scope of work, division of work, and subgroup, including the progress of the subgroups, which I believe is in progress. And staff is working with Denise and Eric to progress Washington, D.C. meeting planning, and the review team members to review the digest of background information circulated to the list and provide suggestions, questions for anything that's missing.
Okay, thank you. I think we've picked up all of those on the agenda to deal with. So my apologies for that. I should have tidied that up beforehand. All right. The first thing that is shown there is the sort of minutes of the previous meeting. I have that they were circulated. I'm going to suggest that we hold over a sort of general discussion about the style and so on to the next hookup till we have a couple of them to look at. But I have had a correspondence from Denise just pointing out that there wasn't a full agreement on the decision around ICANN 63, whether to put in a request for that. So I understand what the difference of opinion is about how that's all worked. So we'll come back to that on the next item. Anyone else who has not been in correspondence with me, suggest everyone happy with the minutes from the last meeting? No other amendments? Okay, I'm going to take silence as acceptance. I think we have a problem coming with audio. I'll just wait to see what All right, looks like we're not getting audio to everybody. Jeff is having trouble.
Yvette's working with those. Hopefully we'll get audio fixed soon for those that can't hear.
Okay. Well, I might... Lauren has the same trouble, Carvo also. So I don't know if that's me. My audio is perfect, so...
Phil, this is Nigar. I'm having good audio as well. I can hear you and Jennifer speaking and Yvette, of course, but it sounds like a number of people are having issues, and I'm not quite sure how we can go about fixing it. Yvette, do you have a solution for this, or do we need to ask everyone to drop off and rejoin the meeting?
Let me try a couple of things. Let me also try to get tech on the call if I need to, and let's see if we can figure out this. Give me a couple of minutes to figure this out. If we can't, we may have to have everybody drop off and call back.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, Nagar, this is Yvette. Everything seems to be normal in the room, so maybe we just need to have everybody call back because there's nothing unusual with audio at all.
Okay, Yvette, thank you. Would you please drop a line in the chat pod and let everyone who is having audio issues to disconnect and try to reconnect again, which hopefully should
right
resolve
now.
The problem? Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, you want, just to be clear, people who can hear well would stay on for now.
Yes, Phil, I'm staying in.
I just saw Jeff's note in the chat, so I wanted just to do a quick audio check just to make sure there's no silence right now.
I can hear you, Jennifer.
Amina? Hello.
Hi. Can you hear us?
Is that you? This is Yvette. We can hear you. Oh, I can hear you at least.
Thank you. Hello.
Hello. Can you hear us?
Hi, this is Kaveh. Yes, I will mute.
Hi. Okay, thank you.
Navid, everyone was silent for a bit. Can you hear me now?
I just heard you. Navid.
Hi, it's Jennifer again. A few more people, I think, seem to have joined, so I'm just making sure if you can all hear me.
Jennifer, this is Nagar confirming.
Okay.
I can hear you okay?
Great.
But I can't speak for everybody else, so let's see how the rest of the review team members are doing.
I think rather than these protracted silences, it might be useful to actually go through and do a quick roll call to see who's actually able to talk. So in the absence of anyone else, let me go through the list. Elaine, can you say something? I saw your microphone unmute, Elaine, and I hear nothing.
Hello, this is Kaveh. Can you hear me?
Kaveh, this is
yes.
Jess. I can hear you. Denise, can you be heard? Can you say something, please? Can't hear a thing, Denise. Eric, can you say something?
Something.
Thanks, Eric. At least my microphone works and Eric can hear me. Denise and Elaine heard nothing. Phil.
I'm here, Jeff.
Good,
okay,
that makes three. Lauren.
Yes, I'm here now via a dial-out.
Okay, thank you. Navid. Someone typing. I'm trying to hear Navid. Can't hear a thing.
Hello, can you hear me? This is Navid.
Thanks, Navid. Yes, we can. Nagar.
Hearing you loud and clear, Jeff. Thank you.
Thanks. Norm. Just disappeared in my list. Scott.
Yeah, Phil, this is Steve. Norm just typed that he's going to switch to dial out.
Okay.
I can hear you clear.
Okay, and we heard Kaveh. So as far as I can see, we, with the exception of Elaine and Denise.
Can you hear me now? I just dialed back in.
I can, Denise. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
And Elaine, you're trying to talk.
I can hear you all.
Thanks, Kaveh. Yes, I got that. And Elaine. I think we're just going to have to proceed. It's now 17 minutes past
yes.
The hour. Time is moving on. Phil, Yeah, you had an agenda posted. Do you want to take the meeting? Thank you.
Sure. Thank you for the rescue, Jeff. Very nice. All right, so just to press on, there are exchange of emails for item three, exchange of emails over the next face-to-face at Barcelona. So my apologies, I went off a little bit half-cocked about the exchange. The process I was following was that there was a record of the decision mailed out to people, and there wasn't any complaint about that at that point. So I think the right way to fix this now, given that we've gone round the houses and shouted at each other, is to just simply get three options together for the next hookup for people to discuss, and then have the conversation around the trade-offs between each of the choices with the information in front of us. Seemed to be a kind of a rational way to do it. With large groups like this interacting like they do, the absolute best way to make decisions is with options in front of people, so that we're not spending quite so much time going backwards and forwards. So can I just put that on the table as a solution to have the staff put the three options in front of people in terms of how you might do that, positives and negatives about it, and people can choose at the next meeting, and we can manage to make that decision in less than a month. Now, can I just put that out and see if there's any comments about if that's a reasonable way to go? I think Jeff's got his hand up.
Okay, I'll be traffic cop. Denise has her hand up. Denise.
Thanks. So I think it'd be useful to get a little more clarity and perhaps give staff a little more direction and what they're coming back to us on. Perhaps this is an Australian euphemism, but no one is shouting. I think people are just raising legitimate questions and suggestions of how to maximize a team meeting in Barcelona. Just to make sure we all get on the same page here. ICMEs are really, really busy, and it's I think clear that it's easier for staff if the team meets 2 days before the main meeting starts. That raises problems for some team members. I think, as I've said on the list, my hope is that it would be great if all team members were around the same table in Barcelona, or as many team members as possible. So I think it would be useful to get a quick doodle poll, perhaps, but just get a quick sense of team members who can attend a meeting right before the ICANN meeting, during the ICANN meeting, or I guess after the ICANN meeting, and then focus on that period for which the most members could participate, and ask. And then my suggestion would be to do that, and then ask staff to explore what the options are. There's different ways of conducting these meetings. Our meetings don't have to be 2 full days, nonstop, 8 hours. We could, if we chose, to break up our team meetings into 2 or 3 hour increments over a couple of afternoons. It would be most convenient to meet at the venue, but if we needed to, we could also, I think, explore meeting in a hotel conference room nearby. So those are just some of the options that we may want to explore, but I think it's useful to make sure we're all clear what we're asking staff to do. Thanks.
I had my hand up, so let me just quickly say, conventionally I'm used to resolving these kinds of issues with a doodle poll, so I'm happy with options being prepared. It just seems to make sense to me to put that in a poll and figure out what's possible within those set of options, Phil. Not everyone's going to attend every phone call every time. So a doodle poll gives a much more complete picture. Thank you. I'll resume my traffic cop. Are there any other comments on this item? I see no other hands raised. Phil, back to you.
Thanks, Jeff. Look, I'm perfectly fine with all of that, Denise. I think what I think is sensible is to pick up the suggestions that you've made, pick up the other ones that you put into the email, which we discussed earlier in the week, and then put them in front of the team with, as Jeff says, a doodle poll to the side of the many parameters you might use to make this decision, which one people prefer, accepting with clear eyes the trade-offs that are inevitably involved in those things. So if people are comfortable with that, in the next few days we will get that information around to people and doodle poll, and we'll just sign it off at the next meeting, hopefully without further ado. So could I I don't see any hands. I'm going to go to the fourth item, which is induction for new members. Thank you to the people who provided those sort of overview of progress by the subgroups previously. That's been very helpful. I haven't circulated. Jeff has provided me with one. I think Norm has flipped one through in the last hour or so. I got an email from Eric as well. So we'll just wrap those up and provide them to the team. In the meantime, there was a reorganisation of the material on the wiki, and I thought I would ask if there was any feedback from new members of the team, if they'd had a chance to look at that and see if that helped with absorbing up information from the earlier life of the review team. Anyone had a chance to have a look at that from the new people?
No one's raised their hands. Jennifer, could you just post the URL of that wiki into the chat screen so folk who don't want to burrow through email have it right in front of them? Thank you.
Okay, so no hands. I might return to that one if we have time at the end of the hookup. I'm conscious we're moving through pretty quickly. Running out of time. So... fifth item on our agenda was a number of things around recommencing the review work. So we talked previously as an action item for discussion of the budget information. So just a couple of things in sort of reverse order. I'll come back to the budget information discussion in a second. So NDAs, it was raised with me that the non-disclosure agreements, that they are not all complete, and that for some people there's quite a bit of work involved in completing them because they have to go through their own organisation's legal departments to get them signed off. So I'm not sure how many there are, but at least three people raised the issue of the NDAs being problematic, and that's something please to restart and get under control. Anyone want to add anything to that? Eric?
Yeah, thanks, Phil. My recollection about that is that we as a team discussed this at length over multiple calls, and I believe actually in a face-to-face session. And, you know, I'm happy to be corrected by the team, or I'm happy to hear that things have moved on, but my recollection is clear that the consensus on the team was that we didn't feel that we needed this, that if we got to a point where we needed something or we asked for something or we wanted something that the provider said required an NDA, we would have a discussion about that and decide if we wanted to execute it. But I've had multiple attorneys look at the drafted NDA, and at this point I am not comfortable signing it because of the way it's written.
Okay. I took the input at face value that they needed, they were still outstanding. But I apologise if the decision was you're not going to do it, then Jeff, your hand up.
Yes, thanks, Phil. I am not prepared to sign an NDA for this particular activity. I have a philosophical position that this kind of review should be open in public. And any material that is presented to me under an NDA, I am not willing to look at or consider. If that precludes me from further activity of this review team, so be it. But I do not believe an NDA is consistent with this, and I said so at the time. My position has not changed. Thank you.
No.
The host has left the meeting to speak with meeting support and will rejoin soon.
Sorry, I listened to a recorded thing there for a second. So I did sign the NDA without legal guidance, and since I've talked to others about it, and I regret doing so. So I would advise anyone else to actually seek legal guidance before they sign it.
Thanks, Norm. Nagar, any light you can cast on this? I apologize if I have...
No problem at all, Phil. The ICANN bylaws, clearly there's a section of it that I'm happy for staff to share with the review team. Just as a point of reference, indicates that if there is any material pertaining to the review work that could be deemed as requiring non-disclosure agreement, that the review team members must sign said non-disclosure agreements in order to proceed with viewing that material. On this topic of SSR 2 review or SSR review in general, given that some conversations could and do pertain to the security and stability of the domain name system, are sensitive by nature, and as such, there are some discussions that could require non-disclosure agreements, as it could harm the domain name system if such information became public knowledge, might require NDAs to be signed before we get to that point. And what we had established with the review team members for this review and other reviews is, if there is a request made for access to certain types of information that we deem to be requiring non-disclosure agreements for various reasons that, of course, we will disclose, we will ask a non-disclosure agreement to be signed. Again, this is something that's in the ICANN bylaws for specific reviews. It's not a staff request on a whim, and we are happy to share that portion of the bylaws with the review team members. Barring that, if review team members are not comfortable signing non-disclosure agreements, we may not be able to share certain information requested, again, because it could be a risk to the security of the domain name system.
Okay, so can I just jump in for a second and just say, look, ask the question, is that specific to particular chunks of information within the review team task or a blanket issue? Presumably you can isolate the sharing of sensitive information to people who are okay with an NDA. Is that doable?
I'm sorry, Phil, I'm not sure I understood what you said. Would you mind repeating again, please?
Well, the question is that presumably those, if there is there are sensitive pieces of work that have to be done, each piece can be dealt with in a way that maintains whatever security and privacy is required without the entire team having signed the same NDA, or is ICANN's view that the is this a debate about everybody having to sign it in order to share information?
As the bylaws dictate, it does not have to be signed by everybody on the review team, but again, if material is deemed requiring non-disclosure agreements, said review team members cannot discuss the subject with others who have not signed NDA within the review team.
Eric. Thank you. Eric?
Yeah, okay. Hey thanks, Holm. Thanks, Sagar. So I just cut a couple things real quick. So one, we did have extensive discussions about this, so I think it's fine, certainly, I think, in my opinion, for a facilitator to decide we should re-adjudicate these things, especially if some people have brought them up and there's any sort of consternation. I think it might be most helpful for anybody that brought it up to Phil's attention to bring their thoughts forward at this point, because I think we're kind of rehashing things from first principles again, and if there were particular points that somebody had concern over, you know, it just will focus our conversation for those people to come forward now and just sort of, you know, make it clear what their concerns are. But, you know, in the spirit of, you know, full transparency of what we talked about, you know, we had one of the bylaw drafters previously on the team, James Gannon. He gave full insight into why that bylaw item was written that way and that this was not the spirit that he had in mind. So I'm not sure whether this is the court of law where spirit versus letter matters less or more, but nevertheless, his point was that in the event that something absolutely needed to be looked at in order to conduct a review, NDA may be necessary. And we as a team, just to sort of rehash my perspective on where we got to, my recollection, we as a team said, fine, if we get to that point, we'll figure out what to do. But nobody has to sign it right now. Certainly if that gave anyone heartburn and they want to sort of address it now, this would probably be the right time and maybe we can put it to bed after this. But it also, in the bylaws, it doesn't say what the NDA should be. And in fact, the NDA that we were all given was extremely difficult for anybody with any understanding of what it said to sign. So perhaps before we need to get to an actual NDA, if we ever do, maybe ICANN staff should socialize this with various legal teams of constituency members and have their legal teams massage it into something that's actually palatable and executable. And by the time we actually need it, maybe we can have an NDA in place that we actually could sign. Just one thought. Thanks.
Right, thank you. I might go to Steve. Steve Conti.
Yeah, thanks, Phil. And review team, please keep me honest on this, but I feel that we exercised this pretty well when we had the Los Angeles meeting last year. There was a couple of things that were business confidential that some of the ICANN staff, ICANN org staff, was reluctant to discuss with the review team. And I think through discussions, off-the-record discussions on what the review team was looking to accomplish by asking those questions, I think we got to a good place, and we got to a place where the relevant staff were able to produce information that I believe satisfied the questions of the review team at that time. So, you know, we have, and I'm not going to speak to the language part that Eric just brought up because I'm not a lawyer. I don't play one on TV and all that. So, but I think that, you know, we can move forward with proper discussions on having a firm understanding of what the questions being asked and what the where that line of questioning is going, so we have we as ICANN org staff have an understanding on who to be asking with internally to provide that information and at what level and what layer that information is being provided, so we don't compromise any part of ICANN security, both systems, but, you know, we have example that I made was about enterprise risk management. So we, you know, clearly don't want to expose all that stuff too. So, but I think we landed on a happy place, and I think that was a good model to use moving forward. Thank you.
Okay, that sounds perfectly sensible to me. Jeff, further comments?
I'm a little bit concerned about the shifting nature of what I'm hearing. A year ago, more aligned with what Steve had said, it was a discussion around documents and material that was considered, I suppose one way of saying it is commercial in confidence, that this represented agreements or specific arrangements and materials that ICANN felt were confidential to ICANN and if the review team wished to see them, an NDA was appropriate. I now hear the statement that the review of the DNS shall be, if you will, impinge upon the security and stability of the DNS and therefore by its very nature, is subject to an NDA. If that truly is the case, if that really is the case, that this is not about generic documents, this is not about commercial in confidence, it's about the way in which those parts of the DNS that are under ICANN's remit are managed, then I must admit I have an amazingly large problem at this point in time. I believe that if you want an open community review, you cannot slap an NDA across that. That's a philosophical issue, but nevertheless a very substantive one. If, as has been represented, that this entire review of the stability and security of the DNS intrinsically requires an NDA to conduct its business, then I think ICANN has a remarkably serious problem, and I, for one, do not wish to sign an NDA under those conditions. Thank you.
Well, so I think what Steve was saying is that you had actually worked out, or at least some of the members of the team had worked out a more practical, sort of doable solution to how to manage that issue. I think that's what Steve's saying.
What Steve said. I'm not objecting to what Steve said. It was the comments that Nagar had made that really raised my alarms here. Because, as I said, if what Nagar has said is true, that investigations and review of matters pertaining to the security and stability of the DNS, by its very nature, require us to sign an NDA, then I think that's a problem. Thank you.
Jeff, if I may make a statement here, I do not believe I said everything pertaining to the security and stability of the domain name system requires NDA. I clearly stated that as part of the investigation the review team is doing, there could be items the review team may choose to look into or may need to look into that could require an NDA based on the nature of whatever it is, given that you're dealing with sensitive topics here. This does not mean that everyone has to sign an NDA right off bat for any research you want to do, as evidenced by the fact that a lot of the review team members have not signed an NDA, and a lot of work has been done on this review to date, or at least prior to the pause. The clear point I'm trying to make is, and that's what the bylaws state also, if there are items that are deemed to be requiring NDA, at that point in time, the person asking to have access to this and others who may wish to discuss it may need to sign a non-disclosure agreement, and if people choose not to for various reasons, that particular document information may not be shared with them, but that can all be discussed at the time such need arises. If it doesn't arise, that's perfect. But if it does arise, here is what's stated in the bylaws. And I hope that provides the clarification.
Okay. All right, I'm going to bring that conversation to a close. I think that's... my apologies. I thought that was a very minor outstanding task issue, not a 20-minute philosophical debate reopened. So I do apologize for slipping that in that way in my ignorance. So I think an email summary of where we're up to would be a better way to deal with this than protracting this meeting. So can I just let's put that aside. Maybe call on Steve to sort of just give us a summary of where that ended up at the with the team that were working in LA, and I think that probably satisfies the concerns. Can we please move on to just to finish item five, outstanding tasks, anything else that we need to get done that... is needed so that the review work can recommence as soon as you're ready to fire away. Item A on there. Any other outstanding tasks?
I have something, Phil, that I would like to bring up. On the outstanding items, towards the middle of October, almost closer to the end of October last year, right before the review was paused, we had circulated a note to the leadership team to let them know about the transparency process around leadership calls and communications. We were in the process of standardizing how we support all the specific reviews for transparency purposes and also to showcase the work that the review leadership team does. We wanted to post all the archived emails and meetings of the SSR2 leadership, much like we do for not only the rest of the review team plenary calls and emails, but also all the other specific reviews that we conduct. This item did not go any further, this request, because the review was paused shortly after, and it is something that I thought we probably should proceed with archiving on the SSR2 wiki page to have a cohesive picture for the new review team as to where everything has landed on the SSR2 before the pause.
Any comments on that or other items people would like to make sure get done in the next couple of weeks? Okay. I'm going to press on. So preparation for the face-to-face. How are our attendances going, please, staff?
Hi, it's Jennifer here. So we have one review team member who is unable to attend in person or remotely, and one review team member who has confirmed he will attend remotely. We're working with one review team member to finalize travel arrangements, but aside from that, everybody has their flights booked, and we expect to see them in DC. I should note that on Wednesday, we've been working with leadership, with Denise and Eric to, talk about costs and things like that. I just wanted to flag as well, on the Wednesday night, we are planning a review team dinner, and I believe that's the 22nd of August.
Okay, great. Now, just for item B on there, we will have remote attendance, but I've requested that while the team is dealing with its internal processes and dynamics, that the recording of any sessions is kept private to the team and not sort of posted publicly, and that you would return to normal ICANN transparency conventions once the subject matter returned to the work of the review. Happy to take comments or suggestions, whether that's smart or not, but just so people know what the protocol for that is going to be. Not seeing any hands or comments, but I'll press on because of the time. Did anyone have? I've not received anything other than a single nod, really, to the draft objectives of the meeting. Mr. Matagoro has provided me with a number of issues that he would like to see attended to in the course of the session plan. Thank you for that. I will circulate a session plan before our next meeting for people to look at and comment on. Let me put it another way. Can I assume that people are okay with that set of objectives, that we haven't missed anything major? Okay. So the other thing that was circulated as part of that was the notes from my interviews, which I've sort of aggregated up to a fairly high level. Again, I've not heard had any direct feedback about that. So anyone want to make a comment about that at this point or raise a question? Happy to take it by email to sort of work ourselves up into it, but it would be useful to have some discussion around that. Denise, do you mind if I call on you? Things that you would like to see in the session plan for the face-to-face?
I'm sorry, Phil. Are you talking about the DC meeting?
Yeah. For DC, yeah.
I generally don't have any issues with the draft objective that you circulated. Did you have a specific question or?
Oh, no, I just, I just thought I'd start somewhere and see if anyone had particular things that they would like us to be dealing with at the face-to-face that they wanted to raise here. Happy to move on if that's not.
Sure. I'd like to make sure we address the issues that were raised as part of the unpausing by the SONAC chair. So that includes the scope and the skill set. So I think those perhaps need to be highlighted on the face-to-face meeting objectives.
Okay. Sorry to put you on the spot like that. Anyone else will
okay.
want to raise their hand to, yep. Okay. Thank you. So what about, say, Norm? Can I call on you, Norm? You there? Any sort of observations you'd like to add to the conversation?
Can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Okay. So, sorry, I never know if my microphone's on or not. I totally agree with Denise. I think probably the biggest thing is for us to move forward from here is to, you know, look at the reasons why we're paused, which seems to be centered around scope, and make sure we're all in agreement around that and modify if necessary. Secondly, to, you know, because of the amount of time that's elapsed since, I guess, October, which is pretty substantial, in internet years, that is quite a bit. Going to be close to a year by the time we get going again. You know, we should make sure that, you know, what we're working on is still pertinent. You know, do we need to add, subtract, or remain the same on what we're addressing?
Okay. In the wisdom of the people, sorry, Lauren.
Yes, I hope you can hear me. Yes?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yep. Yes, I
can. Okay. So, good. I think, like, for me, from my perspective, it's just very important for us to get together, kind of redefine or agree with prior definitions of scope. So I think what I've read looks good. As I said, I think the main thing is we come together, look at it, discuss, and move on because, yeah, it's just time to get back to it, and some time has elapsed, so we have to recheck, make sure everything makes sense, and move on. Thank you.
Okay, great. Thank you. I'm going to send a question around, a couple of questions around by email over the next few days to start some thinking, but also just answer some questions that I have where I'd really like to tap into the collected wisdom in the group, in particular around the issue of approach and methodology. I can recommend processes for review, for such reviews, are quite detailed and cover lots of aspects of review activity and consultation and so on, but pretty much leave methodology and approach to the teams, and that seems to be the area where we have the most disagreements. So I'll try and assemble some options around that for people to look at. So I'll circulate that by email. I think it's too complicated for teleconference. Now, I wanted to ask a question about work. About a tool that we could possibly use at the face-to-face. And one of the issues...
The host has left the meeting to speak with meeting support and will rejoin soon.
Sorry, Lauren, did I cut you off? Your hand is still up. Oh, okay.
Sorry, just a mistake. Don't worry.
No. The one of the things that is comes out of the interviews with everyone on the team is that there's a kind of a categorizing of people. There are new people coming into the team, but there's also, I think, a bit of a you know, arising from probably some fairly bruising experiences and all, a bit of sort of a lack of awareness, I suppose, of what each person on the team can or could possibly bring to the work that's here. I was looking for a way in which we could kind of refresh getting to know each other and how people work and kind of understanding where people are coming from. There's only one sort of tool that I'm actually personally certified in using, and it's a tool, you've probably done dozens of these, some of you may have even used this one. It's just a short questionnaire diagnostic that people fill in about their own work preferences, and from that you get a little profile of how you individually like to work and strengths and preferences, and that can be used as a way to kind of get to know the people in the room. I know that sometimes people are horrified by these sorts of group dynamic tools, and there are people around who have had terrible experiences with them in all kinds of reasons. So I'm going to put that again by email. I will flick around to everyone just saying, look, I'm thinking about using this, but I'm not going to do it if people are either uncomfortable with it or massively skeptical about the use of that kind of tool. So I just wanted to really say something about that, not just throw it around by email cold. Anyone, comments, experience with that, have a view that they would want to raise now? Jeff? Jeff?
I'm just unmuting. I'm certainly aware of my own strong preference to do as much work as possible in email and not in coordinated face-to-face. I mean, part of the issue really comes that between us as volunteers, between us as basically, I think, from most time zones, and between us as folk who have day jobs, the fiction that progress is going to be made when we're all either sitting around the table or on calls such as these is largely, you know, just insubstantial. There are two other ESSAC nominees, Russ Housley and Casey Clappy, who aren't on this call, for example, and who have some opinions and views, and I'm not willing to represent them. They can speak for themselves, but, you know.
Actually, Jeff, Casey's on this call. I missed the roll call, but I'm on here. But I totally agree with everything you just said, though.
You're not on this little Adobe Connect list, but thank you. So my point was that, you know, there is an implicit assumption that carried around for the first year and a half that decisions for something that were made in some kind of phone call or some kind of face-to-face, and the email was merely just a background noise. In my own sort of style of working, nothing could be further from the truth. It's the exact opposite, that the best way that I can accommodate and work with others in this kind of disparate global set is to actually do the bulk of the work on email, and formalizing when decisions are made by doodle poll or any other mechanism, if you do really do want a poll vote, and less reliance on face-to-face because it simply doesn't work very well. Thanks.
Lauren.
The host has left the meeting to speak with meeting support and will rejoin soon.
So from my point of view, there's some stuff where the face-to-face might actually be helpful. So, you know, for the new members like me, it's really important to kind of have the Washington meeting, set things up. I think it also helps generally. But, you know, after that is done, I agree that what we can do via email, and I'm not sure if people are interested and if we're allowed to, you know, use something like Slack in addition, if someone wants that, okay. But, you know, deal with what we can deal with via email or something along those lines, and then really reserve those things where it makes sense to meet to those meetings so that they run efficiently.
Sure. Thanks, Lauren. Norm?
Yeah, I'm kind of agreeing with everybody here. So we need all forms of communication. We need the face-to-face, or, you know, that's how some people work, and every so often that is required, especially when you're new. Having joined in September, I found it difficult at first trying to, you know, get my head around things and just, you know, I've been told to read tons and tons of documents and emails and trying to catch up during conference calls. I found that very difficult. But then as soon as you have a face-to-face, I found that accelerated, you know, my navigation fairly quickly. But I also get, you know, what Jeff is saying regarding emails. I think they're very important because they kind of get you around that temporal barrier so that you can actually, you know, exchange ideas independent of being in real time. So I think the two are absolutely needed. I don't think there's one or the other. They both need it.
Okay, Eric.
Yeah, I think I was going to say largely the same thing as Norm. I think I was going to say one thing slightly different. So it's sort of in concert with what Norm was saying, and Jeff, I think, as well. I think, you know, we have different kinds of work that we do, and I think at certain points we need to all get on the same page and get on base with each other. I think those are what in the past, as the team sort of evolved, we started off face-to-face not knowing each other, and that actually might have wound up being a little premature. But nevertheless, we struggled to find our pace with each other until we all saw each other face-to-face again. And, you know, as a team, what really worked for us, and maybe will work going forward or maybe it won't, was getting a lot of work done at points at which we need to sync, having calls at points where we really need to get on the same page or at least to sort of formally ratify something big, we're wind up face-to-face with each other. And that works really well with, like, the ICANN periodicity and other things like that. So to sort of underscore what Jeff said, I think, yeah, doing a lot of work over email is probably critical from a throughput perspective. And the calls probably help us go over, you know, point-focused items that, you know, there are issues of consternation over. And the face-to-face meetings help us get on base with each other. It's sort of like a tiered system. I'm kind of rushing because I'm watching the clock at the same time as talking. So I think that's the way the team kind of evolved at the very beginning before the pause. So it might make sense going forward.
That's a great, great call, Sam. Could someone switch that off or mute, please? All right, I'm going to talk over the top of the music. I appreciate all of that. I mean, I think that is one of the things that you'd really want to make sure you sort of reestablished at the face-to-face are the protocols for how you work and what stuff gets done, ideally in email document exchanges, what stuff gets done on a teleconference and what stuff you really need face-to-face is for. Clearly that is one of the things that you do best in a face-to-face is to sort of sort it out and get to know each other on that front. So look, I will circulate a session plan that will hopefully move our next conversation along a little bit in terms of how we best use the face-to-face. And my sort of working assumption around that is that the amount of time we spend on team dynamics, team protocols, and the amount of time we spend on getting the work organized, we would aim to get as much of the time as we have available to us for getting the review tasks underway. So we'll try and get through the things we need to get through first as quickly as possible. Use the right amount of time. All right, so we're going to wrap up. It's 7 a.m. here. Some other time there. People need to go. Any other business? Anything we've missed? Anything people would like to raise? Jennifer? Or Nigar?
I'll let Nigar go first, but if you don't mind, before we wrap up, I'd like to just run through the action items that we've recorded here.
Thank you, Jennifer. I just have a very quick note to add. It's an announcement to the review team. We are realigning our secretariat resources, and Yvette, who has been with the SSR2 review since the beginning, is switching to a different set of responsibilities within the MSSI team. So I wanted to let the team know that starting the face-to-face meeting in D.C., Brenda Brewer, who is on the call with us today and has been on many other specific review sessions, is going to take over the secretariat responsibilities for SSR2. So I just wanted to take this moment to thank Yvette for all of her hard work on this review and welcome Brenda to the team. And with that, Jennifer, I'll turn it over to you.
thanks, Nagar. Yep, just quickly, I wanted to run through these action items that I've recorded here. You can see them in the Adobe. Staff to share information about options to meet in Barcelona and circulate a doodle poll to the team with those options. Staff to provide an email summary of the review team discussions so far regarding the NDAs and include an attachment of the NDA in the email. Staff to circulate a draft session plan for the DC meeting prior to the next review team meeting. Staff to post records of leadership meetings and emails prior to the wiki. And both to send questions via email for the review team to react to regarding methodology and approach to work. So please let me know if there's any edits, and as usual, these will be circulated in the review team. Thanks.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Hey, this is Denise. I'm sorry, I'm not on the Connect room, but could I ask staff to, I think I may have some questions or clarifications on those action items. If the staff could just put them in the email list, I'd be happy to follow up on email. Thanks.
Great. Thanks, Denise. Jennifer, you still got your hand up?
No, I'm done. Thank you.
No problem. Okay. I'm going to close the meeting. Thank you, everyone, for your participation, and there'll be email exchanges to follow backing things up. Naveed, I see your request for changing the time. The next meeting is not at this time, so hopefully that helps. But this was the most popular time, and that's on the doodle poll. So it is quite difficult to find a time that suits the entire globe. So hopefully the next one will be better for you. And even I hope you can get back to bed now. I'm sorry. All right. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, everybody. Everyone. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you, everyone. Bye.